Religion is not based on beliefs alone. The most powerful voice in history to have said that is Gautama Buddha. Religion is also based on conduct, and the Quran confirms that. I ask my Shia brothers, and they are my brothers, because I recognize them to be Muslims. They are my brothers until a fatwa is delivered that the Shia are no longer Muslims, they are kuffar. And that fatwa has achieved ijma'a. They remain Muslims until a fatwa is delivered, a legal opinion, and that fatwa achieves ijma'a, consensus of opinion, in the world of Islamic scholarship. Only at that time would it now will not be considered to be Muslim. This is a fatwa delivered on the Qadianis or the Ahmadis. That's very clear. But on the Shia, have the Shia ever been prohibited from performing the Hajj? If there is a fatwa and it has achieved consensus, then why is it for 1400 years, except sporadically, they have continuously been accepted to perform the Hajj, and no one is objecting. No one is objecting. Okay? Since the Shia are my brothers, because there is no fatwa which has achieved ijma'a, I am not aware of it, that they are kuffar. Since the Shia are Muslims, I approach them and I say to them, if your claim is correct, and this is their fundamental claim, which separates them from us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has decreed that the leadership of this ummah after the death of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is vested in Ahlul Bayt. This is called the theory of the imamah. If this is from Allah and someone rejects it, then surely he cannot be a Muslim. Once it has come from Allah, Islam means you must submit to it. That is the definition of Islam. Mm-hmm. So if someone rejects it, that person is a kafir. Can you deny that?
No.
This is irrefutable logic. And I say to them, my name is Imran Hussein, and I am a scholar of Islam. People consider me to be a teacher, and I reject it. And I go amongst you in Iran, and you accept me, and you embrace me, and you're kind and loving and respectful for me, and you honor me, you say I have great scholarship. How come you don't tell me I'm a kafir? There is a question of credibility now. If a belief system is to be accepted as a part of this deen, from where must it come? Obviously, since Allah says that He sent this Quran, tibyanan li kulli shay, this Quran must establish the belief system of a Muslim. We must not have to go elsewhere. Now then, the Quran is comprised of two kinds of verses. There are those verses which are muhkam, plain and clear, no need for any interpretation. And there are those verses which are called mutashabihat, and Allah in His wisdom, and He is the wisest of all, has chosen to put part of the knowledge conveyed in this Quran in mutashabihat. And only those endowed with insight will be able to penetrate. So forget it, Washington. You can't penetrate it. The mutashabihat has to be interpreted. And we must make an effort to interpret it. But only Allah can confirm an interpretation to be correct. I thought that there was a mistake in punctuation. I thought that this was my teacher's view. And I also held that view until I realized I was wrong. Until any time I'm wrong, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to declare I was wrong. All right? And correct myself. This is integrity in scholarship. So I realized I was wrong. That it is only Allah who can confirm an interpretation to be correct. But we must make the effort to interpret, because this is a part of the Quran, a very important part of the Quran, the mutashabihat. And we make an interpretation, we say Allah knows best. If our interpretation is correct, then always this is truth. And truth will survive despite all the critics. They can make all the noise they want to make. It makes no difference. Truth will survive. And if our interpretation is wrong, but we did make the effort with sincerity, we still get blessings for having made the effort. The interpretation is wrong, it'll go down the river tomorrow, be forgotten. But we must still make the effort to try to penetrate the mutashabihat of the Quran. But the belief system, therefore, cannot come from mutashabihat. The belief system must come from the Quran, but from that part of the Quran which is plain and clear. But the Quran, which is plain and clear, and my Shia brothers must not be annoyed with me when I say this. Listen to me, it will benefit you. The Quran, which is plain and clear, the Muhkamah, does never, never, never say that the leadership of this Ummah is vested in the Ahlul Bayt. Good?
Yeah.
And so we have differences with them on these issues. But that does not mean that you have the right to say they are kuffar. If you want to declare they are kuffar, bring the fatwa, which has achieved ijma, and then explain to me how it is that they have never been stopped from performing the hajj. This is irrefutable logic. The only way you can say that they are not Muslims is this way. There's no other way. Okay? So I recognize them as Muslims. And I go to them, therefore, with a love and affection worthy of Muslims. I don't judge people always only by beliefs. I judge them also by conduct. And the only leader I have found in my lifetime, who have stood up with incredible, incredible courage to point his finger at Washington and to say, this is Shaitan al-Kabir. I've never heard any Saudi leader speak like that. I've never seen any of these bogus leaders that we have today speak and point to Washington, Shaitan al-Kabir. But Imam Khomeini, Rahimahullah, you don't like what I've said, get lost. Get lost. I am the freedom. I have the freedom to say, Imam al-Khomeini, Rahimahullah, you don't like that, get lost. Leave me alone. I have the freedom to speak. You don't want to listen to me, go your way. Imam al-Khomeini, Rahimahullah, had the incredible courage, Pakistan doesn't have, to point his finger at Washington and say, this is Shaitan al-Kabir. I honor him for that. The way I honor Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. The way I honor Hugo Chavez. I wish we had leaders like that in the world of Islam. So yes, our Shia brothers do make mistakes. And when we try to correct them, we do so in a loving way, not with boxing gloves. We don't want to win any debate with anyone. Others do that, not us. When you try to win a debate with others, you leave a record behind you that stinks. Yes, we won the debate. Look at the record of hatred and hostility you leave. That's not my way. I've been to Iran many, many times. And I've traveled extensively in Iran. And the Shia brothers in Islam in Iran have always, always, always recognized and respected me and received me with kindness and affection. But that does not mean that I will not point out the areas where we differ. I also point out the areas where we are in agreement.
Right.
And one of those, of course, there's a big war coming.
Right.
And after the big war, there's going to be a conquest of Constantinople. 7 years after the big war. Our critics say, oh, no, the big war took place in 1453. Let them continue to dream. History will leave them behind. The world is listening to me. And after the great war and the conquest of Constantinople, we will return Hagia Sophia to those to whom it rightfully belongs. The Shia and the Sunni are agreed on this. It's only Turkey which remains brainwashed until the end of the world.
Yeah.
Religion is not based on beliefs alone.
Mm-hmm.
The most powerful voice in history to have said that is Gautama Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is also based on conduct. And the Quran confirms that. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Our people are miskin today. Millions and millions and millions are miskin today. And they, with their petrodollars, living luxuriously, they eat their fill, and they leave our people to suffer in destitution. And Allah says, this is the repudiation of religion. Mm-hmm. But do you find this kind of analysis?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So you don't judge the Shia only on the basis of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You also judge them on the basis of their conduct. And always give me a moment. The United States of America and its allies in NATO are today the greatest oppressors in the world. This is the difference between me and those who took CIA money to go and wage a bogus jihad in Syria. This is the difference between my scholarship and those who took CIA dollars and dollars from the Mossad and from Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey to go and wage their bogus jihad in Syria. How many times do I have to repeat it?
Mm.
This is our difference. This is the greatest oppressor in the world. Mm. And you taking money from them and weapons from them to wage your jihad? Mm. But look at Iran. United States, which used to change governments in all of Central and South America willy-nilly anytime they wanted. Gunboat diplomacy. 200 years of regime change. Read the history of the United States. And then came Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. And he blasted the United States that the wealth of Venezuela was going outside of Venezuela. Venezuela has oil, it has gas, it has gold, it has so many things. But the wealth was going outside and going to an elite in Venezuela. And the masses of Venezuelans were in miserable poverty. He says this has to change. The wealth of the country has to be distributed equally, has to be driven justly. The poor must get part of it. And they tried everything they could to get rid of Hugo Chavez. And then after Hugo Chavez, Maduro, including imposing a quarantine on Venezuela so that no tankers can come with oil to help Venezuela because the refineries were not working. What did Iran do? Do you think Pakistan has the courage to do what Iran did? or in Indonesia or Malaysia or near, or Turkey or near, Iran sent 5 tankers filled with oil. The US warships were in the Gulf, in the Caribbean Sea. The US warships were there. And Iran defied the US warships and went and delivered the oil to Venezuela. This is courage. This is a profile of courage. You don't judge people only on the belief system. You're a schoolboy. You must also judge them on the basis of their conduct. And Iran has displayed incredible courage. Mm.